1 John chapter 5. I love your patience with me. I get excited. That song would have been worthy of singing again, just that last verse. Somehow I regret that I didn't do that. It's just good, because I think you could have sung it more worthily. Remember this, worship. You've heard it from me, some haven't. It's worth-ship. We come to declare and bestow worth on one person, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus Christ. Many people worth-ship athletes. They give value and honor, and they bow down at the feet of sports. They bow down at the feet of entertainment. They bow down to themselves. I told you years ago, my son knew I liked LeBron James, and just in case you wanted to understand this, LeBron James is by far better than Michael Jordan, so we've just clarified that here. You know what I need to do? That's just another reminder for me. Just stick with the Bible, right? Just stick with the Bible. Anyway. All right. Not that. Anyway. So he bought us tickets when LeBron was still playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we drove up there. It's just a great father-son time. And I tell you this story because there's only one willing to be worshipped. So we were up there, and they were playing the Lakers that night. Funny that he now plays for the Lakers. But, they dissed the Lakers, and they just named their starting lineup. And starting for the Los Angeles Lakers, you would think, there was some scrub team from, just. And then they introduced, the four starters for Cleveland. And then all of a sudden, all the lights went off. And so I've never been there before, right? Just this. Flames started shooting up. I was so close to them, I felt the heat from them, right? And here's what it said. And now, the King. And, the billboard, whatever. What do you call that thing that sits in the middle? The Jumbotron, whatever it is. I mean, it was massive. It was like I thought I could shake LeBron's hand. And the King, and I looked at Josh. It was just crazy. I said, should we make it official and just bow down and worship? And so it's crazy. Sorry I started off so most of you won't listen to my message, obviously, because you're delusional and you think Michael Jordan's better than LeBron James. But don't let that get in the way of this message. But there's only one that's worthy of our worship. Who do we worship? That's really the question. Who do we give our time to? Who do we live for? Right? Who do we live for? 1 John chapter 5, let's just look at verse 6 through 9 as we continue to go through this great book. Remember, this book was really one of the primary reasons. It gave five reasons that it was really written, but one of the primary reasons is in verse 13. Let's just look at that. I won't really dwell on that this morning, but these things, chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. Probably nearly everyone in this room, you say, I believe in the name of the Son of God. Well, it says they were written for people just like you. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that it will increase your faith. Well, chapter 5, verse 6 through 9 increases that. Let's just look at these three verses. Title of the message, The Things That Bear Witness of Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 6, let's begin there. This is he. Let's just start with verse 5 so you can understand who the this is. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Again, title of the message is The Things That Bear Witness of Jesus. Understand, in the first century, there was this false teaching that was going around that Jesus, who they understood was God, did not really, really come in the flesh. that he really was in the spirit only, and that it was a kind of a manifestation of him that looked like he was in the flesh, but he really didn't come in the flesh. Well, that's false teaching. Look at chapter 4, verse 2, right, just to help you see that there a little bit. It says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. How do you know if it's really the Spirit of God? Because everybody says, well, the Spirit moves me. Well, he won't move you contrary to his word. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So he's telling you this, that it's really important that you understand these witnesses of Jesus Christ, the things that bear witness of Jesus. We're going to see three things in heaven and three things in earth based on this passage. Now, let me just, I don't think I'm going to take you there this morning, but just make a note if you want to go back and look at it. John chapter 5, Jesus, during his earthly ministry, he gives five reasons why they should believe that he was the Messiah, why they should believe that he was the Christ. Messiah is Hebrew, Christ is Greek. He says five reasons, and here are the five. And so you go back and look at John chapter 5. I think it's probably in verse 30 through 39 in that range. And so just go back and look at that later. He gave them five reasons why he was on earth. One, he claimed it. You can't be the Messiah if you don't claim it. Two, John the Baptist. They revered John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. God, 700 years before John the Baptist came, he said, there'll be one crying in the wilderness, make way the way of the Lord, right? And so it was John the Baptist 700 years later. So Jesus claimed he was Messiah. John the Baptist, who the Jews revered, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He said, John testified of me. Then he talks about the Father testifying of him, which I think there's some overlap with that this morning. And where did the Father testify of Jesus? At his baptism. Behold my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He did that again in Matthew 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration. But Peter, James, and John were the only ones there with Jesus, and then Elijah and Moses. But the Father validated that Jesus was the Son of God. So we have Jesus claiming it. John the Baptist, who was revered by the Jews, said, yes, this is the one. The Father validated it with the voice from heaven. Jesus said, you didn't hear that voice, but you've heard about it. That's third. Then he said, his works, the miracles. Nobody made the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dead risen from the dead. You know, that's the problem with all these fake healers today. They don't make the blind to see. Not somebody that's been blind for 30 years. Proven, documented. Not somebody that's been lame all their life, 38 years, to walk. Boom, immediately leaping. Jesus did. Blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, the dead risen from the dead. He said, if you don't believe me for my word's sake, believe me for my work's sake. He said, what? No, nobody else does that. Then fifth, he said this, it's the scriptures. He said, search the scriptures, for they speak of me. And so some of those we have today, and I think we even have greater revelation, because when he spoke, he was talking about the 39 books of the Old Testament. And so those were evidences that Jesus gave during his earthly ministry. Well, 1 John is written by the Apostle John. Obviously, God is the author. John's just the secretary. And he gives us these things here. Look, if you will, at verse 6. He gives us an earthly witness of why we should believe that Jesus is the Christ. This is he, speaking of the Son of God, speaking of Jesus, verse 6, that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now look at verse 8, talking about the same thing. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. And so he says there's an earthly witness, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. Now there is incredible debate on what this is about. I don't think it's very complicated. I think God makes it pretty simple when he says there's an earthly witness, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And so you'll notice in both of them that there's the Spirit is in both. There's a heavenly witness, that's the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And in the earthly witness, it's the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is involved in so many aspects of our life, it's all behind the scenes. Understand this, when the Holy Spirit's working, what he's doing is he's pointing to Jesus. If you see ministries that are highlighting the Holy Spirit as though the Holy Spirit's really the attention, probably a red flag. It is the Holy Spirit I ask you this. What is said about the Holy Spirit for eternity, in eternity once time is done? Nothing. But that's exactly the role of the Holy Spirit. He will be active in every single element of eternity. But it's not for His glory. He'll be pointing to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Jesus points to the Father. And so the Holy Spirit's involved in every single aspect of life. Remember this. Jesus, when He did the miracles, and people ascribed the miracles to the devil. Remember that? That was the unpardonable sin. I believe that was only possible while Jesus was here on earth, the very Son of God in the flesh. He was doing a miracle through the power of the Holy Spirit, and they ascribed it to the devil. And He said, all manner of sin can be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And so the Holy Spirit's involved. But what is the water, the blood, and the Spirit? Here, it's an earthly witness. And remember this, it was to prove two aspects. And we're going to look at both this morning. Jesus was 100% man. And the impossibility is He was also 100% God. There's no 200% of anything. But Jesus is. This was helping us understand the earthly components of Jesus. Remember this. The Bible said this in John chapter 3 when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born of water and of the Holy Spirit, right? He said that. And that's not baptism. That's not baptism at all, but it's that. What happens that's the trigger for a mama to know it's time, the baby's coming? A water breaks. You got to be born physically, and you have to be born spiritually. You have to have two births. Well, what it's talking about here is it was so evident Jesus was born physically. And if you were wondering if He really wasn't physical, because this is the story that was going around. Oh, no, Jesus really wasn't. It was the blood. He shed His blood on Calvary. The Bible tells us in Isaiah that He wasn't recognizable as a man. They had plucked His beard, and your face would swell. They had buffeted Him. A crown of thorns, and the blood would just flow. They had scourged Him where you could count His bones, the Bible says. You could see the very organs of His body, nails in His hands, nails in His feet, and the blood would flow, and that's a real human being. You cut me, I'll bleed. You cut Jesus, He bled. If you're wondering, was He a man? You see, most people have to admit that because there's overwhelming evidence. I tell people all the time, when you and I die in this room, there will be more evidence that Jesus lived than that you lived in just about 10, 15 years. See how many books are written about you. See how many eyewitnesses write books that you lived. Oh, but there's dozens and dozens outside of the Bible. It can't be disputed. Jesus Christ of Nazareth lived. So there's such overwhelming evidence that most people say, you know what, there was a man. There was a man named Jesus. And so I'm convinced that the reason why, let's see, okay, guys, maybe my battery's out here. I'll just switch this, see if that works. Okay, we're not working here. So, Aaron, if you just want to, I'll tell you, I'll just move that next slide. Move that next slide. So, there you go. These three agree in one. So I want you to know this. They agree in one. They aren't one. So the Spirit validates that Jesus was here physically. You see the blood. You see the water. You see the testimony. But it was ultimately because it was the humanity of Jesus that I think this earthly witness was there for. Look at just a few verses here. All right, so pay attention, Aaron, because when you hear me say those terms, then you'll do it. So you have to, like, laser focused on me. So focused on the humanity of Jesus. So 1 John chapter 1, I want you to see this. It's the very first verses of this book. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. He's giving them reasons. We saw this with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled Him. So if you just think we could have seen a mirage, and it wasn't a real person with flesh and bones, No, we handled Him. We touched Him. It says, we have looked upon Him, and our hands have handled of the word of life. for the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And so then, chapter 4, verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is in the flesh is of God. I want you to know this. The first testimony, and they all three agree, the Holy Spirit agrees that the blood was real blood. He was born of a woman. But it's important. If Jesus wasn't a man, you and I couldn't go to heaven. But if he was only a man and he wasn't God, we can't go either. Then let me help you understand. In order for anybody in this room to go to heaven, somebody has to substitute for you. You can't do it. You're not good enough. And I know 99 out of 100 people I talk to, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Well, yes, yes. Well, why should God let you in heaven? Because I'm a good person. And you've heard me say this. I tell them, does the Bible ever shock you? I just talked to somebody the other night. Does the Bible ever shock you? Well, sometimes. I'll say, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And if you're counting on being good, you're in trouble. You understand that? You're in trouble. Your goodness will get you straight to hell. Because you're a sinner. You can't erase your badness with goodness, right? You can't. You can't erase it. You have to be perfect to go to heaven. So somebody has to do it for you. And it had to be one of us. See, that's why Jesus had to become a man. He didn't become a man just to be sensational. That is so cool. That's so amazing that Jesus became one of us. He had to become one of us because his requirements as one of us had to do what none of us could do. I loved what Todd said this morning. It was very subtle, but you said Jesus was perfect. He did everything perfectly, and he didn't do anything bad. You see, it's both sides, right? It's not just not doing bad, but he did everything right. You see, I would tell you that more difficult than not doing bad is doing everything right. You understand that? See, in order to go to heaven, it's not just avoiding bad, but you have to do everything right. Jesus did. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the requirements. He did what you and I couldn't do, and he did it in the flesh. He did it as a man. Now, I know he's also God, but I want you to understand this. If he didn't, how are you getting rid of your sins? Who else has taken your punishment, suffered in your place, and who else met the requirements of the Father? There's no one. There's no one. You see, oh Christian, we should rejoice over this. We should be so excited about this. If we go out to eat this afternoon, you could just tell them, say, I want to ask you a question. Why did Jesus have to be a man? Why did he have to be one of us? And you can excitedly tell them, because he had to substitute for us, and God would only accept one of us that met all his requirements, and Jesus did. Did anybody else live perfectly? Not even close. God doesn't grade on a scale. He grades perfection or lost. Perfection or lost. You see, I want you to understand this. Only by the perfection of Jesus Christ, you must have his perfection imputed into your life, or you cannot go to heaven. Jesus was 100% man, born of water. I mean, old Mary, she had labor pain, just like Eve. Water broke, Jesus is coming. And then the blood flowed. And then, you know, I love this, and the final thing is when they didn't break Jesus' shins, right? When they'd go to the cross and they wanted to accelerate death, they would have, anybody, you all know what a spud bar is, right? Just a long steel bar. I'm just for illustration, they would bring what would be likened to a spud bar, and they would whoosh, break their shins, whack it across their shins, split the bones in half, and then the person couldn't push up, and they would suffocate. Well, they came by Jesus, and he's already dead, so what the soldier did, he took his spear and thrust it up into his side, and the Bible says the water and blood flowed. Maybe the water and the blood's referring to that particular moment. But the evidence was overwhelming. Jesus became one of us. If you're here this morning, that should just fill you with gratitude. There's an old song, I've mentioned it only in a few, but it was for me he died, for me he cried. Oh, every day we remember that, I think every day we'll live for him with a heart of gratitude. You see, there's an earthly witness, the water, the blood, and the spirit, but now there's a heavenly witness as well. I think this might be working, Aaron, unless you are really with it. I don't think you were really with it. Okay. And no, it's okay, Aaron. I'm just teasing. And so I think there's a heavenly witness. So I think we may have gotten a little bit of battery juice there, but who knows? A heavenly witness. Now, let's look at verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. So we had the three on earth, the water, the blood, and the spirit. But verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. I'm not going to go into, there's great debate. There's no debate in my mind. There's no debate in actual proving of this. But verse 7 in most other Bibles is questioned. Verse 7 is said, it's not in the most accurate manuscripts. And you have to understand how they define accurate. I'm just going to tell you this. It's in the Word of God, part of the Word of God, has been part of the Word of God since God gave His Word. For there are three that bear record in heaven, and we can have that. It's a great study. It's really a fun study if you want to do that study. 1 John 5:7 is part of the perfect Word of God. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Understand this, that the heavenly witness is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and they are one. And we'll talk about that. And it's focused on the deity of Christ. What I mean by the deity of Christ, the godliness of Christ, that he was fully God. Look at John 14:9. John 14:9 says this, Jesus saith unto him, how long have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Understand, they are one. We can't fathom that. From the very beginning, I love telling people this. The first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. That word for God is Elohim. It is a singular, plural word. Myron, you come up here and explain that to me. Singular, plural word, but it's in the Hebrew, and the Jews understand that. It's a singular God, but yet plural. There is one God. There's only one God. Don't you misunderstand that. But three persons. It's been that way for all eternity. Later in Genesis 1:26, that Godhead says, let us make man in our image. We're in the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You want to see the Father? You look at Jesus and you've seen the Father. I tell people all the time, I don't think we'll see the Father. He is the invisible God. But it will suffice for me to see Jesus. I'll know the presence of the Father. I'll know the presence of the Holy Spirit. But heaven's going to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question is, why isn't that our focus today? So he says, the heavenly witness, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So now, how has the Father, we talked that, the Father validated the Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He did it at his baptism. Everybody heard it that was there. They spoke about it throughout all of Israel. The Father validated, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then, do you love this? I love the variety of God. It's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And so then it takes us back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That verse is enough to make your head spin. Right? So I've done this before. Randall, in the beginning was the Word. You're going to be the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and I'm going to change God to Steve. Uncomfortable as it is. In the beginning was Randall, and Randall was with Steve. Oh, no. In the beginning was Randall, and Randall was with Steve, and Randall was Steve. That's idiotic from a human perspective, isn't it? But it's exactly how God describes himself. In the beginning was the Word. Now, then you go down to verse 14 of John 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. The Word is Jesus Christ. I love what God's telling us here. He's saying, you want the heavenly witness? You have the heavenly witness by the Father. You have the heavenly witness by the Word, and you've got to love this. Jesus is the living Word, and we have the testimony of the written Word. You've got to love the Bible, because I want to tell you this. It's not blind faith. This is the book given to us by God. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you love it? Do you thirst for it? Or did it just gather dust this past week? If it just gathered dust this past week, you don't believe God. I didn't say you're not going to heaven. You got too busy. You've got your priorities all messed up. If you thought it would be a good idea not to be in this book, then you don't believe God. I've been on that kick lately. Somebody recently told me, they said, you know, I've prayed about it, and I'm dating a lost person. I said, you wasted your prayers, because I can tell you what God would say. No. Okay, so I said, I don't want to be mean about it, but you think you're smarter than God. And I go, it might work out, but that's not because you're smart. It's because God's merciful. Only one kind of person a saved person is not supposed to be with in marriage is a lost person. God also addresses, if you happen to be saved and you're convinced your spouse is lost, then you might respond and go, got to get rid of them. No, God deals with that in 1 Corinthians 7. He says this, if you're married, honor God and stay married. That's what He says. All right, so He addresses that. So don't go, you know, flying on the deep end with me. But I'm just telling you this. It's the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What does it say, guys? I'm going blank right now. It is on the thigh. It says faithful and true in Revelation chapter 19. But it also, Jesus Christ is called the Word of God, right? His name. Is that the exact quote? He is called the Word of God. Am I quoting that correctly? Somebody look up Revelation 19 for me, and I think it might be in like verse 8, 9, or 10, and just validate that for me, that He is called the Word of God. It's in the New Testament, Ron. Just kidding. What do you got, Justin? What's this calling there? I want to quote it correctly. Okay. All right, what is it? It's the Word of God. What verse is it? Verse 13. Ron, read that for me, verse 13. Real loud. Just love that. Jesus clothed in a vesture of blood. We can't get away from the blood if you're a Christian. You understand that? And His name was the Word of God. Let me tell you this. The testimony from heaven. The Father has testified, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Son, the Word. The Word is another name for Jesus Christ. He's called the Word of God, Revelation 19, 13. He's called the Word of God. And it's the Holy Spirit who says, yes, this is true. Romans 8, verse 16 says, His Spirit bears witness with My Spirit. But so many people walk around, they say, well, this is what the Lord wants me to do. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to do anything contrary to His Word. I will tell you this. If you are convinced that everything is about Jesus Christ, that is probably of the Holy Spirit. If you are convinced that you aren't worthy, you're good. You're getting closer. There's only one that's worthy. You see, I'm not here to encourage you to feel better about yourself. I'm not here to make you feel bad about yourself. I'm telling you this, the only reason worth living is Jesus Christ. God's blessed us with children and grandchildren. I just found out I got another grandson on the way. Isn't that cool? I mean, they just keep them coming, man. Keep them coming. So it's number three. His name will be Cliff. Then we're going to have one named River. And then I don't know what we're going to have, but so we got Cliff and Callum and Elliot, right? So I'm excited. You know, it's awesome. I love being a grandpa, or papa's better, right? Love that T-shirt, man. That's my favorite T-shirt. I almost don't want to wear it because I don't want to wear it out. But it's just good. But the reason worth living is Jesus Christ. See, there's overwhelming evidence. There's an earthly evidence, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. There's a heavenly evidence, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. But now, here's the question I have for you. All right, Aaron. Okay, great, Aaron. Oh, no, it's good. It worked, Aaron. We receive the witness of men. God's is greater. You see that in verse 9? If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Do you really believe the witness of God? You know, most people sitting in church, they go to church once a week at best. Do you really believe it? Is it really your life? Is it really who you are? Does it just dominate your life? The question is, what is our witness that we have believed and are who we claim to be? Everybody that goes to church, I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. And I'm not dealing with all the other religions, and I love people of other religions. I want to teach them what the Bible says, because they're hopeless, because all other religions, I'm telling you, it's unbelievably consistent. All other religions tell you, here's how you get to heaven, just be good. That is emptiness. Because if you're honest, you're not good. You know what I'm pointing at right there? Yeah, I know. You're not good. Make sure you got it. You got it. Would you agree with that? Yes, yes. You're not good. Be careful of the not good man. You understand that, Nia? All right? I love this guy. But the only way you can trust this guy is if he's walking with God. You understand that? He's as flaky as they come. And I love this guy. I do. The only way you're going to have victory in life is by faith in Christ, every day. You understand that? And I love this. I know you want to be a man of God. It's only through Christ. So I thought about this, and I'll finish with this. We have this trilogy of the earthly, the water, the blood, and the spirit, you know, three. Then we have the heavenly witness, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, Holy Ghost. Well, I thought about this, and so I've just from 1 John. What would be the trilogy, or what would be the tri-reasons that you're saved, just from the book of 1 John? Well, I'll give you this, the Spirit. The Bible does say this. If you're saved, the Spirit of the Lord will bear witness with your spirit. Romans 8:16 says it most clearly, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You're sitting there this morning, you know for sure you're going to heaven. Is Jesus Christ really your heartbeat, your passion, your love? You know, I'm a little bummed this morning because I thought this morning was going to be my first morning that I was going to have somebody from Thornton's come to church. I think she's going to come to church. And I saw her there this morning, and she got called in. And I apologized to her this past week. I said, Pamela, I said, you know, I'm sorry that you had to ask me about our church. And I said, I normally witness to most people. I said, I don't know what it was. I had never shared with you the love of God. And she was super kind, but I apologized to her. And I said, Pamela, I have failed you, but I want to help you. I said, one of our ladies would love to teach you the Bible. And she's going to come. I really believe she's going to come. I've been told that before, but I think she's going to come. And so I ask you, does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? But a lot of people say yes to that, and there's no more witness. I'm going to tell you, 1 John, I want you to look at this. We keep his commandments. Now, you are not saved by keeping his commandments. I want to be absolutely clear. But Jesus says, hereby, look at this, or God says this through John. Look at 1 John 2:3. Hereby do we know that we know him. I mean, you know, you could say, hereby do we know that 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 we know him. It's like double no. You want to be double? Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Everybody in this room could say, yes, the Spirit gives me comfort. I am his. And you live like the devil. You don't honor God. There's nothing about your life that would represent what the Bible talks about. You should be gravely concerned. Can Christians do horrible things? Yes, they can. David, he committed adultery and he killed Bathsheba's husband. And he was saved. He didn't say, oh, God, save me again. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. David had lost his joy because when a Christian sins, it breaks that fellowship with God, not the relationship, but the fellowship. No way should we ever, that's an extreme. David's life overall was, he was a man after God's own heart. The pattern of God was consistent. He loved God. But I'll tell you this, a man that was after God's own heart, when he took his eyes off of Christ and he put his eyes on women, he got messed up, did he not? Lust chewed him up and spit him out so bad that he said, I'll kill her husband. But what I'm talking about is every day, how about just the last 52 weeks? See, I would love to come to your work. See, Myron, he took a great risk when he brought Nia to my house about a month ago. And I mean, I had to cover a lot really quickly with Nia. I mean, I did. I said, Nia, you happy to be a Baptist? I said, I love that you're born again, but let's walk with the Lord properly. You want to be a Baptist, right? I know, and Myron's like, Steve, let me handle this. See, I'm telling you, and I said, the only reason why you guys should be married is because you believe you'll be more effective for the kingdom of God than separate, because it's all about God. It's the only reason why. So there's more questions for me coming up. You ought to be able to answer that yourself, right? I know this. You guys holding hands there? That's just, I mean, I love that, right? I love that, right? I remember that. It's like this. It doesn't get better than this, man. I have no idea what that preacher's saying, but she's holding my hand. And you know why you like to hold her hand? Because God made it that way. But he made it that way so together we would serve him better. You know that? And so just remember that. Why should you get married? Not because you think she's beautiful. You're like, bonus. But because you better convince me. And now is when you're going to learn all that. But here's the reality. Have you been keeping his commandments? Do you love his commandments? They're not grievous. They're not burdensome. You see, that's the tough one. I had some other people that were going to be here this morning, and I thought this one could really just rub against their fur. Because they tell me, oh, I love Jesus. And their life doesn't represent that at all. And I love them. And I was worried that they would think I'm just trying to beat them up with this. I'm not. See, God doesn't want you to wonder if you're saved. He wants you to know. Do you literally love keeping his commandments? And look, I fail every day. I've never had a perfect day of loving the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving my neighbor as myself. But I will tell you this. I want to honor Christ. If you followed me around, you would be very disappointed with me. I'm not here to promote Steve. I want to keep his commandments. But the Bible says, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. You know when Christians doubt? You know when Christians doubt? When they're in sin. Lost people don't ever worry about being lost. Lost people don't worry about being saved. They're like, well, you know, I'm saved. I'm just saved. I mean, it's this foolish teaching that says you can believe and have no change in your life. You don't change yourself. God changes you. The reality of the Bible is he is so faithful. When he saves, he will change. You can't change yourself, but he will. Either he's a liar or you're not saved. Red flag, right? You want the trilogy, the Spirit, to keep his commandments. And 1 John's just so overwhelming with this. We love God's people. God puts that at a higher priority than loving the lost world. Now, his priority for the lost world is super high, but his priority for loving God's people is higher, if I could say that. I think I can. I think most would agree with me. Look at 1 John. I just want to show you this. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How do we know? How do we know we passed from death unto life? See, it doesn't happen in the future. When you are born again, it's immediate. You've passed from death unto life. You have eternal life right then. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You love being around God's people? I love this. So, I mean, Don's a weirdo now. He told me this. He used to make fun of Stephen and Marissa slightly, right? Just a little bit. You guys going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? And you also go on Monday night, and then they do something on Friday night, and then they do something on what night? Cult. Cult. You love being with God's people. And now, Don, he's here every time the doors are open. Is it because you have to, Don? No. It's because you're supposed to? No. You just want to be here. Best part of your week, right? It's because of the preaching, right? It's not. You know what I love about this? You know there's something going on here. It has nothing to do with this old boy. It's the goodness of God. Where two or three are gathered together, in my name, there I'll be in the midst of them. God's here this morning. Do you love being with God's people? You just can't wait till the next time? Because, see, that's what heaven's going to be. We'll be with Jesus and God's people. And if you don't love him now, I doubt you'll love him in eternity. What I love about God is he says, I want you to know. I want you to know. I've given you all the evidence why Jesus is legit. I've given you earthly evidence, water, blood, and spirit. I've given you heavenly evidence, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you what the evidence should be in your life. I've listed three that were the primary things in the book of 1 John. God gives us overwhelming evidence. You can know that you're his. Do you know this morning? You see, he is worthy. He's worthy of all. Maybe this morning all you need to do is just ask the Lord. Maybe you're a Christian. Ask him that he would be worthy of everything. Of everything. Of everything. Because he is. You know, I need to talk to him about that all the time. I'm not saying I've arrived. I haven't. He's worthy of everything. Do you have the evidence that Jesus has saved you? If you don't, you can know. God doesn't want you to guess. You can know before you die. And he's the one that'll change you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for just the word.